This is Fresh Air. A streetcar named Desire has been revived in a Broadway production starring Alec Baldwin, Jessica Lange, and my guest Amy Madigan, who plays Stella. Like her co-stars, Madigan is best known for her movie roles. She played Kevin Costner's wife in Field of Dreams, a tough mercenary in Streets of Fire, and in the made-for-TV movie Roe v. Wade, she starred as the lawyer who won the case that legalized abortion. She told me she knows that many people in the audience of Streetcar are comparing this new production with earlier ones.
People have very strong opinions about the play, and they also have very strong opinions about it because a lot of people have seen the film, which was, of course, so powerfully and wonderfully done, and people kind of remember Marlon Brando so much from that. But we're doing the play, and the play we are doing is Tennessee Williams' text with every period and comma and stage direction and cross T and dotted I. And the play is very different from the film. It really centers much more on the relationship between Stella and Blanche, the two sisters, and it's been a very exciting experience working on it.
I'll confess I haven't read the play.
Have you ever seen a production of it?
In all honesty, I have not. Mm-hmm.
You've seen the movie,
right?
Yeah.
The most famous scene is the Stella scene,
right?
So, tell me how that's played in the Broadway production.
Well, it's quite wonderful. I think Alec has taken this approach with Stanley to really let his emotional side come through, that you just don't see the brute, the vulgarity. You see this other side to him. So in his calling for me and his leading up to it, which he phones up to the apartment upstairs, and it's quite, it's very pathetic in a way, and it's quite sad. And you see the true vulnerability of this man. And finally, he has to yell at the top of his voice, Stella! And I finally have to come down those stairs, you know. And I think we figured out a really beautiful and nice way to do it. You can kind of feel it in the audience when we're connected and doing it right, that people are, in a way, cheering for this relationship, although they know how the story is going to end, and it ends tragically. And it's a nice palpable feeling that you get from the audience when they see the love that these two people do have for each other.
In the Stella scene, do you ever get a little shiver thinking that now that scene's about you? I think we all grew up hearing, not only seeing the scene in the movies, but hearing people impersonate over and over Brando doing it.
Oh, every boy I went to school with at one time or another was imitating Stella. Mm-hmm. That scream.
Yeah.
Very early on in the rehearsal process, which we spent a lot of time sitting down and around the table as opposed to getting up on our feet very quickly, so we could really, really know the text with each other, which was quite invaluable. And it just happened kind of in this collective way. We all very, very quickly forgot about any movie version, any onus about it, any other production we had seen, because we finally were becoming these people. So when I hear that plaintive wail calling for me, it's for me. It's not about anybody else or anything else. And that's why you love to do it, because it's the magic of doing theater.
The first role I saw you in the movies was Streets of Fire, the 1984 movie. I'm going to ask you to describe your part.
Well, first of all, I had a great time working on Streets of Fire. I played a character called McCoy. I wore the same outfit for the entire film, and it was a long shooting schedule, so that was rather interesting. The part was written for a Hispanic male of about 40 who was kind of over the hill, drank too much, was a mercenary type of character on and off. This is a fantasy type movie. And he really needs a job, and he hooks up, of course, with the somber and sexy hero. And then there was a part for the sister. And I went in and met Walter Hill, who I like very much, and said, "Mr. Hill, I don't want to be the sister, nothing against the sister, but I think that I should be the hero's sidekick, and I can do all the things that are required. Don't change the dialogue, don't change the weaponry, don't change the action. And won't this just be, don't you think my idea is better than yours?" Basically is what I said. And he was open enough and not intimidated, certainly, and said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Can you really pull it off?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I can." So there's an example of my big Irish mouth not getting me in trouble. And I don't know. I just kind of like to think that I was a little bit of a prototype for a lot of these tough gals that are running around now.
I think probably the movie that you've made that the most people have seen is Field of Dreams. And you were the wife of the character played by Kevin Costner in it. Did you have any reservations about taking the wife of role? How did that role look to you when you read it?
Well, I was familiar with W.P. Kinsella, the writer. And I had not read Shoeless Joe, but I had read some of his other novels. And he has some great writings about the Indians. And I just liked the script a lot. And when I met the director, Phil Robinson, I liked him a lot. So it was something that I wanted to be involved in. You know, I liked the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I auditioned, and as many other women did, and they, chose me, which I'm very happy that they did. Kind of when I was referring before to Walter's film, I kind of said the sister. Or,
mm-hmm.
I'm married. I am a wife. I don't have any problem with that. It's just, oftentimes in the writing, you're kind of written as really the wife, the girlfriend, the aunt, the sister, without any dimension or passion or kind of anything going on, you know. And that, I think, is a common complaint that a lot of actresses would have. But because Field of Dreams was kind of this beautiful magic story, I just found it fun and exciting. It was something I wanted to be a part of.
My guest is Amy Madigan. She plays Stella in the new Broadway revival of A Streetcar Named Desire. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Amy Madigan, and she's currently starring on Broadway in A Streetcar Named Desire. Before you started acting, you were in rock bands. I think you spent around 10 years.
Yeah, almost 10 years doing that.
Singing?
Yes, I was a upfront vocalist. Sometimes I would play weird percussion instruments like a concert snare or a glockenspiel or a vibratone or castanets. And sometimes I play a second keyboard on a few things. And it was just great. I just love music, and I got into the band situation kind of as soon as I left home and went away to school. And I guess for somebody else it would be like their woodshedding process of being in, you know, carrying the spear on stage or being in the summer stock shows or being in rep theater or whatever. And I always did original material with all the bands I was in, so I have great reverence and still do for whatever the script is and whoever the writer is, which unfortunately sometimes in our business gets, they're treated badly. Like, I can't quite understand that, you know, unless it's on the page, you can be acting your butt off, but if you don't have it on the page, it's not going to go, you know.
What kind of music?
A weird combination of kind of almost avant-garde Zappa-esque instrumentals, some performance art type of pieces. Before the term performance art existed, I would play characters on stage. And then one of the partners I worked with wrote just unbelievably beautiful blue-eyed soul type music. So we did kind of a, you know, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, rhythm and blues type of stuff, which I really enjoyed singing. So it was an eclectic mixture. We weren't one thing. And I guess that wasn't very good business sense, but we really kind of didn't care that much.
How far did you get? I noticed you left.
Yeah. What do you mean by that question, Terry? How far did you get?
I mean, in the music in the music business.
Oh, I didn't get far at all in the music business. Yeah, and I did leave. I was a working musician, and I was able to play wonderful places. I mean, I played bars and joints, and I also played Avery Fisher Hall. You know, I was very lucky and was able to open up for some people that I admired.
Like who?
Stevie Goodman, Dan Hickson, The Hot Licks, Steely Dan, just to name a few. Flo and Eddie, actually. And one of the bands I was in, we did record an album to which my parents and a few other family members have copies of, and that's about it. I never had any great success or acclaim in the business side of it. And maybe if I had, I would have taken a different path in life, but I think I definitely, when I took a right turn from music into the acting, I know it was the right thing to do, and I have no regrets about it, and I'm very glad I did it.
Now, I have to ask you, your father was a newsman.
Yeah, my father still is.
Oh, is still a newsman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's he up to now?
He does a show for CBS Radio called Views the Press in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's become the press liaison between the press and the Illinois Supreme Court. So that's been kind of interesting, being a member of the press for that period of a time. He kind of knows how to handle everybody.
And his name, for our listeners who will recognize him, is John Madigan.
John Madigan from CBS in Chicago, yes.
What effect did it have on you to grow up with a father in the news business? Did you talk about issues all the time at the dinner table?
We talked about a lot of things, yes. And when my dad was news director for CBS television in Chicago, we always had three televisions that were constantly on because you had to check your competition and see what their stories were about and lead stories. And the radios were always on. So you kind of were just battered in a way with this barrage of kind of information. But I was also able to meet some people that I probably wouldn't have met, you know, as a young kid even, politicians. And so it was just kind of a part of our life, and so we all were very involved in that. And I thank my dad for that because I'm still politically active and I'm still a big newsprint buff as opposed to a television news person, although now CNN has kind of changed that.
Right.
So it was something that was always... Yeah, always there and always around. Still is when I go home. The radios are still blasting the news out.
Right, right.
Right.
Now, we are recording this interview, and the time now is 3:19 Eastern Time. You have a performance of Streetcar tonight. What happens between now and curtain time? What do you have planned?
Well, I will go over to, from here I'll go over to the theater, which is a little early, but that's okay. I have some things to do over there. But I am the type of person that I like. There's a thing in the theater called half hour, which is you have to be there a half hour before your performance. I would be a blithering idiot if I got there a half hour before. I usually get to the theater 3 to 4 hours before a performance and spend quiet time with myself, burn my candles, put on different kinds of music. Music is a very... emotional link for me to acting work. It's very visceral and it's very physical, and I use different pieces of music. Warm up my throat. Continually read the play. I'll pull out a scene that I know backwards and forwards, but I'll sit down and read it because in that way of you just putting your presence in front of the play itself by reading it, you'll kind of sometimes will figure out some magical, wonderful little thing that you never thought about. I go down and check my props, walk on the stage, and it's kind of an internal preparation to get ready to do the show.
When you say burn my candles, you mean literally, right? That's not just...
Yeah, I have my little candles that I like to burn.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of music have you been listening to for Streetcar?
I've been listening to a lot of jazz music, and I love jazz music. I was very turned on to it. I have two older brothers, and my eldest brother is a big, big, big jazz buff. So he really got me into listening to jazz when actually I was quite young. So I've been listening to a lot of jazz, not just New Orleans jazz where the play takes place, but Bessie Smith, been listening to that, and more of the old-time kind of blues stuff, Professor Long here.
Mm.
And sometimes I'll just have to, like, you know, put on Eric Clapton on 10 and just and listen to that, you know, because or Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, I have to, like, listen to a six-string guitar just be played incredibly great, you know, so it's kind of I'll go to either extreme.
So I guess when you get to the theater, you'll just have a little under 4 hours.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'll let you go and start getting ready. I thank you very, very much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot. I really like your show a lot, and it's nice for me to be talking with you.
Amy Madigan plays Stella in the Broadway revival of A Streetcar Named Desire.